Phoenix Logging is one business that could be immediately affected if SeaAlaska stops timber operations. Owner Linda Lewis says her company cuts trees and builds roads for SeaAlaska. Right now, the regional native corporation is its sole client. Lewis says the 80 to 90 workers that Phoenix directly and indirectly employs could be out of work in the next few years.
Unless this legislation comes through, we anticipate that this site we move to will be our final logging site for SeaAlaska. They have no more significant land holdings that would justify the expense of a move of a company like ours. So we're looking, when we finish where we are, we'll not have another job.
The SeaAlaska Lands Bill would allow it to select up to 85,000 acres of Tongass National Forest lands. If the lands legislation is approved, the corporation estimates it could sustain logging operations at 40 to 50 million board feet a year into perpetuity. SeaAlaska Executive Vice President Rick Harris says the bill is essential to the company's timber operations.
There is a point in time that if we don't get this legislation, our timber operations will begin a slow but certain wind down. What we're going to be talking about is the loss of a lot of jobs. There's over 300 direct and indirect jobs in the region.
A SeaAlaska logging shutdown could have a chilly effect on the Prince of Wales economy in particular. A recent McDowell Group study found SeaAlaska logging contributed to approximately 210 jobs on the island. SeaAlaska expects to cut around 50 million board feet of timber this year. That compares to a peak harvest of around 100 million board feet 4 years ago. The industry group Alaska Forest Association has been supportive of SeaAlaska's efforts to pass a lands bill. AFA Executive Director Owen Graham.
Right now, the SeaAlaska operations support about 40% of our timber industry. And without this legislation, SeaAlaska says they're going to have to soon start scaling back their operations, and we don't want that to happen. The infrastructure for the logging industry is at a critically low level, and we can't afford to lose anybody out of our industry at this point, certainly not somebody as important as SeaAlaska.
Tucked away in a former Ketchikan Pulp Company warehouse, Tongass Forest Enterprises employees are creating decking, a special order greenhouse, and other value-added products out of Southeast Alaska timber. With only 2 full-time employees, this operation is minuscule compared to the massive pulp mill that preceded it. That said, the company is doing something that SeaAlaska and many of the remaining timber operators left in Southeast aren't doing: manufacturing. Tongass Forest Enterprises owner Larry Jackson says he would like to see SeaAlaska manufacture at least a portion of its timber in the state in exchange for passage of what he sees as a favorable lands bill.
From my observations, I haven't seen SeaAlaska put in any manufacturing capacity.
Concerns about SeaAlaska's lack of processing in the region was brought up during multiple Southeast town hall meetings. Pacific Log and Lumber Mill owner Steve Seeley says he wouldn't go so far as to require SeaAlaska to process its logs in Southeast, but says the corporation should be encouraged to do so.
You know, the cost to export round logs is substantial just with shipping. And it's easy to invest $1 million, $1.5 million just to load and transport, which provides an advantage to the local manufacturer if they have the tools and the market allow them to pay a higher price for that log. And I think it's in SeaAlaska's best interest to diversify their market as well.
He supports SeaAlaska's efforts to pass the lands bill and says the corporation provides the necessary volume to keep the remaining contractors servicing the industry in business. Seeley's Ketchikan sawmill has been and remains closed as he seeks to come up with a timber supply. Ultimately, he says litigation over federal timber sales and decisions made in Washington, D.C. will determine whether he's able to reopen his mill, not the SeaAlaska lands bill. SeaAlaska has resisted any attempts to require manufacturing. CEO Chris McNeil says his corporation is only one of a number of companies exporting whole logs out of the region today. He says the state and federal government are allowing extensive round log exports.
The truth is that these timber sales have been long driven by exceptions that allow significant export. If you take export completely out of the timber sales, our analysis is they become uneconomic on their own terms.
Tongass Forest Enterprises, Jackson.
The only response to that is, well, why does the local manufacturing base need a cheaper? Is it because of the general cost here? You know, hey, it costs more to manufacture here, or costs more to... Well, obviously the logging costs aren't the cost, because somebody else is willing to export it and pay those logging costs. So that's out of the question. It has to do with manufacturing. So what I would say is that the industry needs to get together and say, why aren't we competitive?
Jackson says a timber manufacturing base in Southeast isn't tapping into the right international markets and needs to become more efficient and competitive. Meanwhile, Phoenix Logging's Lewis worries that without the lands bill, she'll soon be letting go of her employees.
We have employees and subcontractors we've grown old with. We've been doing this for 30 years almost, 25 for Sea Alaska. And some of them are not retirement age. A number of them are not retirement age. And so it would be very difficult for us mentally, emotionally, to say to these guys, okay, guys, we're done.
Staff of primary bill sponsor Senator Lisa Murkowski say more field hearings on the Sea Alaska Lands Bill will be held in Southeast Alaska in 2011. The timber industry is expected to remain supportive of the legislation. In Ketchikan, I'm Deanna Garrison.